call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.
Hello and welcome to the Secret Vibe Lounge. Come in. So I'm going to ask you up front, what are you believing God for today? You see, a lot of people think that seeing is believing, but in fact, it's believing that is seeing. And what you're thinking about determines what you feel. What you feel is obviously based on what you believe. And that's what calls in your reality. So what are you believing today? Today, I want to talk about the difference. I want to talk about the difference in relation to perspectives. And we're going to go a little deep here. So with your permission, let's begin. One of my most favorite books is called Loving What Is by Byron Katie. And the title could have just as easily been called Loving Reality. But it's more than loving reality, because what is reality? Reality is life as you see it from your perspective. And as each of us have different perspectives, our realities are different. Our reality of what is right and what is wrong is often different from each other's. And this is one of the major reasons why we engage in conflict. We only have to look to politics to see, no, this is the right way, no, this is the wrong way, you know, to see this being played out in action. So what is reality? Well, through a profound experience that I had, where God showed me that my perspective is only a slice of the pie. In other words, my perspective is only me seeing a part of the picture with the five senses that I have. Through sight, through sound, what I hear, smell, taste, and touch. And so what I perceive through my perspective is different from what another person perceives through their perspective. And so that is the premise of my talk or beginning of a discussion today. Why is it important to know that your perspective is neither right or wrong? So I'm going to go back to a profound experience that I had when I was younger. So I was in my early 20s and I used to work for the rag trade, which is the making and the selling of clothes. And I was in a back end street office. It was a little warehouse. And the customers would come in with their swatches of material and I would match the material to the thread color that they wanted. And I was very good at it because I had 100% color vision. So not many people in the world or in the country that have that ability. But it's the ability to detect the minutest changes in colour. And I had that gift. And so one day, as I sat there, you know, in front of my desk, waiting for the phones to ring, because there'd been a slumber at that point, I went to reach for the phone. The phone began to ring. And I realised that I'd written words on a pad in front of me. And the words were to know the difference between right and wrong. And I remember being startled at looking at it because I couldn't remember writing the words, but I must have kind of dozed off or, you know, gone into a daydream. And that's what came out of me as I doodled on my pad. But I knew it wasn't the first time that I had written the words, but it was my first recollection when I started to write the book. A clear enough recollection, an account that I could put in the book. And those words would follow me for years. Every time I went off into a daydream, because I worked a 9-to-5 office job, I would write those words to know the difference between right and wrong. And I was like, God, like, why do I keep writing these words? Strange thing to write, isn't it? To know the difference between right and wrong. Where is that even coming from? Now, at that time, I was what they call a seminar junkie, a personal development junkie. I was heavily into the personal development world, seeking out who I was, my spirituality. I kind of touched on my background before, you know, I'd come from an abusive type home, where I was made to feel like nothing. I was taught literally low self-esteem. And I received a leaflet through the door and it said, have you been gone through sexual abuse? Tick. Do you have low self-esteem? Yes. Are you under 25? Yes. So it's very clear I was under 25. I know that for sure. And so I began counselling. I followed the route of that leaflet. I followed the footsteps in the sand, so to speak. And I ended up in counselling. And as I went for the counselling, I realised that even though I was lost, I hadn't lost my value. I had an amazing counsellor, a black lady. I can't remember her name. You know, God, please let me remember her name, because I would really love to reach out to her as who I am today and what I've achieved, for her to say, because of this, you set me on the path. And so I would attend counselling with her. And that's what I realised, that even though I was lost, I hadn't lost my value. And at that time, I'd always sought God. I was always trying to find out, well, who God was. I was raised in a Roman Catholic home. From there, I then went into Pentecostal and I was trying to find myself. I knew God was wonderful, but who God had been portrayed to me, the Roman Catholic, was not the God that I knew as a child growing up. And so here I was out on limb, really, you know, going into these personal development seminars and church and just like, God, please show me why I'm here. Much less who I am. Who do I belong to? And so that was a journey for me. And God began to unfold who Valerie Campbell is. So today I find myself a podcast coach to millions of women worldwide. And I say women because there are many men that listen to my show. But when I speak as if I'm speaking to a woman. That is who my avatar is. I find myself a 3-times published author. And what runs concurrent through everything that I do is the message that your voice matters. And the reason for that is that when I was young and I went through sexual abuse, the scream caught up into my chest. And I couldn't express myself. I was taught that my voice didn't matter. My feelings didn't matter. And that would actually transpire into my relationships at that time. I thought, you don't express your feelings. You don't express your feelings are not valid. That's what I was taught. And so I had to teach myself that my voice mattered, that what I have to say is valid, just as valid as anyone else. And so in God teaching me that my voice was just as valid as anyone else, I would look at another person as being on the same footing as myself. And so I teach today that is essentially the message that runs through everything, is that your voice matters. Do not doubt yourself. Do not critique yourself. Do not second guess yourself. I want to hear what you have to say, because your opinion matters to me. Your perspective matters to me. I'm in the game of listening to multiple perspectives, because they all matter. When you think of a cake, when it's cut up into different slices, no two slices are exactly the same, but yet all of those pieces of the cake make up the whole. One day I was in my living room, and as I watched the TV, I saw a woman walking along on the screen, seemingly just minding her own business, handbag over shoulder, just walking along. And then all of a sudden, this big guy just came out of almost nowhere, rushed at her, pushed her hard to the ground, the contents of her basket are everywhere. She was holding her knee. And I was so indignant. I just thought, you see what? This just epitomizes the state of the world. Do you know, what is it? A woman can't walk the road in peace without being attacked for no reason. That was my internal rhetoric. And then what happened is the camera zoomed out. And when the camera zoomed out, it revealed that the woman was walking along a building that was under construction, and bricks precariously positioned above were about to fall. And had it hit her, I'm sure she would have died. It was his intention to save her life. And so as the camera zoomed out to reveal that, I slumped back in my chair and held my head and said, oh my gosh, how many times do we do this in life? We make an assumption because we don't have a fuller perspective. And in that moment, Spirit whispered within me, whereas you have perspective, I have vision. Whereas you have perspective, I have vision. You see, God sees the entire picture. God sees the entire picture. So our perspective is never right and it's never wrong. That's all it is. It's just a perspective. And how do we then get an inkling into vision so that we can make decisions that are in alignment with God's will? Well, we have to lean on God's vision, and we do that by the hearing of the word. See, you were not designed to live independent of God. And so you have to go to God. God sees everything. He sees your present, your past, and your future. And he knows how everything is knitted and connected together. You're predestined for a purpose, and he knows the journey that you need to walk in order to attain that. So you have to trust in God. Because if you looked at a situation with your perspective, it's going to look at times so dark. But what you don't realize is that moment is actually defining you for your purpose. And your purpose is that which your function in collaboration with other people's function, you come together for a purpose. You're never alone when you're walking on purpose. Never. God will equip you with everything that you need, all the resources that you need to achieve that. You are just a function within a purpose. And his resources come through people. His resources come through relationships. His resources come through connections. The people that you know. Because everything belongs to God. Everything. He's an all-inclusive God. That's why the Father, our Father who art in heaven, there's an indicator right there. And so we are his resources. He is source and he is resourcing himself through us. So everybody that you meet along your journey is a resource. Claudine is a resource to me. The women in the breakout room are a resource to me and vice versa. Because you're never quite sure what deposit that person has left in you. What seed they have left in you. And so my mission is for people to understand that when you realize that you're listening to someone's perspective and that person's perspective is neither right or wrong, it's just a slice of the pie, it then causes you to relinquish or to suspend judgment. And if you can look at somebody and say within yourself, this person is neither better or worse than I am. They are not right and they are not wrong. Then that puts you on a level playing field with that person. If you're on a level playing field with that person, will you ever feel intimidated? No. You won't ever feel intimidated. I remember when this seed was deposited in me, I knew it was the truth. How could I articulate to people that there's no difference between right and wrong? Oh, thank you. I would just say thank you for sharing your perspective. I choose to take it in or not. And I remember I had a property at that time. I'd allowed myself, and there's that taking that responsibility. I had allowed myself to be conned, yes, in buying a property. The property hadn't been registered at the land registry office. And so when I realized that the payments were too high, I'd signed a document without due diligence that said basically I agreed to pay in these extortionate amounts of monthly payments. When I realized what I'd done, when I went to rejig the loan, as it were, that's when I realized that I couldn't do it. It wasn't in my power because the property wasn't registered at the land registry, which basically means that on paper, I do not own the property. So I had control of the property, but on paper, I didn't own it. And so I was taken to court for a period of 10 years by NatWest, back and forth. And at one point in those years, the judge said to NatWest, okay, I want you to go to the address of where the property is and you can take ownership of the property. Okay, so the bailiffs had a date So I went with the mindset, well, your opinion is just as valid as mine. But I had the advantage at that time of knowing who I belonged to. And I understood that there was a power that was inside of me that the judge didn't know. You see, yes, judge, I hear your word. I'm not intimidated by you. I'm not intimidated you by bailiff. I'm going to go to this property and you will not take that this property. And that was my decision up to the leading days of going to, you know, of going to the property. So I went to the property and I stood there. I was with a friend and I just said, they are not coming for this property today. That was my word. They're not coming to this property. I'm not intimidated. I have an army behind me. They can't see it. And right now, this judgment is suspended. Would you know, at the appointed hour, they didn't come for the property. And I thought, this is strange. They're supposed to be here at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. They're not coming. So I left and I went back to my home. The next morning I woke up and I'd had some letters that had arrived the previous day and I hadn't had the chance to open it. So I decided to open it that particular morning. And I opened the letter and there was a letter from NatWest saying they were no longer coming for the property. And that was really strange to me because, remember, I'd been battling with these people for 10 years. The objective was that they wanted to take the property. And here they were telling me that they're not coming for the property anymore. That was a miracle. That was a miracle that day. And why? It was a fruit of the message. There is no difference between right and wrong. The no difference between right and wrong caused me to suspend judgment and to listen to somebody with the attitude of, you are not stronger than me, you have no right over me, what you say is just as valid as my word. And so therefore, if you are, your word is just as valid as mine, I then get to make a decision that this is not going to happen and stand in the authority of Christ who backs me 100%. I received a miracle that day. I then went on, you know, a couple of years later to sell the property through the receivers at that time, made an agreement, and I was in 100 grand plus profit through that property. So this is a talk not so much on, is there a difference between right and wrong? It's more a talk on what happened as a result of receiving the message that there is no difference between right and wrong. And so to rewind back to that time when I received the message, how did I receive the message? As I said, I kept on writing these words. And on this particular day, I attended a seminar. I walked into the room, everyone was sat in the quiet carpet, really quiet. You know how hotels are. Heavily patterned carpet. And as I sat there, the next day was a 3-day seminar. I thought, I'm really going to enjoy this because the coach had placed us in this meditational type state. You know, it was separate. I felt separate from the outside world. And I had a question. You see, it's the questions that drive us. And I went to the front of the room And I sat down because I wanted to ask a question, but the coach was speaking to someone and I just wanted them to finish first. And as I sat there in the stillness of that moment, I heard the words as clearly as I'm articulating to you today. There is no difference. And I immediately began to cry because I knew that what I had heard was the answer to the question that I had written all those years ago. There is no difference. And when I heard it, my brain kicked in and said, there is no difference between right and wrong. Everyone knows there's a difference between right and wrong. But you know what? Over the years, I've proved that the devil is a liar. It's an illusion when you think that you know what is right and wrong. It's an illusion because all that you have is perspective. You can't see the whole picture. And that's why you have to walk with God every single day. The Bible tells us to acknowledge Him in all of your ways. In all of your ways. Not some of your ways, all of your ways. We were not designed to live independent of God. And so, what is your perspective? There is some of you that will listen to me today and you'll be like, you know what? She may be talking a lot of baloney. And that's okay, because I've deposited a seed in you today. Whether you choose to allow it to fall on fertile soil is entirely up to you. No judgment. But then there's others today that seed will deposit in you as it did me. And when you walk in the energy of that seed being deposited in the soil of your mind, and it begins to grow, and it begins to grow branches, and it begins to bear fruit, you will now see the goodness of God in His infinite wisdom. He does things in mysterious ways of depositing that seed within you. There is no difference between right and wrong. You see, for me, at the time, I was saying, oh, there's no difference between right and wrong. And it was very confusing for people at the time when I started to articulate the message as I began to kind of understand it. But it wasn't so much that, it was how it changed me. What results I attained as a result of that message. How did it cause me to interact with people? I would speak with people and I found that people would say to me, Valerie, you're so calm. How is it that you're able for me to open up and speak to you so much? I've just told you so much about myself. And it was simply because I had suspended judgment. See, when you suspend judgment, it allows a person to feel heard. It allows a person to feel respected. It allows a person to express their feeling. And when a person feels heard is when a person is able to get across, to express to you how they feel. That person will then open up to you because you have suspended judgment. So when we engage in conversation with one another, don't be fixated on thinking that your perspective is right and theirs is wrong. It's a ploy of the enemy to engage you in conflict, whilst peace stands firmly at your side, waiting to be acknowledged. It's through the suspending of judgment that you will realize that we are all one. It is through the suspending of judgment that you will now seek to understand another person's point of view, as opposed to condemning that person. You'll think, oh, could you share with me why is it that you came to that conclusion? And you'll be genuinely interested. You see, this world, as we know it, is comprised of many perspectives that are clashing with one another. But we need to understand that it is many perspectives that make up the whole. I hope that this message has touched somebody today, that you've received it in your heart, that it resonates with you. Because when you come to this lounge, I call it the Secret Vibe Lounge, this is where I want you to relax. This is a place where I want you to be still. This is where a place where I want you to take the time to listen to your spirit within you as it conveys truth to you, so that you can now go out as a beacon of light. Because I'm trying to clean, this is my attempt to clean the windows of your mind, to remove the black smudges, so the essence of you, who you are, the light of you, can shine through. If you want to grab a copy of this book, go to www.valerieacampbell.com/perspective. There's more information on that page about the book, and you can also
call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.